Hi, we're Visible, the wireless company with nothing to hide. Get unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon for $25 a month, taxes and fees included. Sorry, hidden fees. We're just not into you. Switch today at Visible.com. Rate with service on the Visible plan. For additional terms and network management practices, see Visible.com.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. If you're a small business owner, you know that it isn't just your business. It's your life. And whatever your business might be, you want someone who understands. That's why you might want to check out State Farm Small Business Insurance. Why? Because State Farm agents are small business owners too, living and working in your community. That means they know what it takes to help you personalize your policies for your small business needs. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Talk to your local agent today.
Hi, everyone. This is Pivot from the Vox Media Podcast Network. I'm Kara Swisher.
And this is Scott Galloway.
Scott, we just had a long interview
about
your book, The Algebra of Happiness.
I know. I'm glad you got the title. I feel spent. I feel emotionally
spent.
Vulnerable. Yeah.
You're not going to like whip up another rant like last week about Lyft.
No, I'm on my meds.
Yeah.
Which is something I probably shouldn't joke about, right? Is that a hate crime now?
In any case.
Yeah, I'm feeling kind of mellow.
I'm going to be visiting the Lyft guys next week. I'm going to be curious if they listen to you.
Throw a dime at their head. Say, can you drive me somewhere and throw a dime at their head? Say, that's what you do to your 1.4 million drivers.
No, I'm not.
Oh, shit, don't get me started. Seriously, don't get me started.
I won't get you started on them. Would you hate the Uber people more? Because I'm going to see them too.
I think ride hailing is, I got a ton of shit saying this on Twitter. I think ride hailing is the tobacco of the gig economy. We've figured out a way to separate, you know, the everyday workers from the white people who split all the money with their
investors. I shall see what they say.
Yeah.
They're nicer than the Uber people, or they were in the old
days. They're nicer.
I'm just saying.
I mean, they're all nice.
No, they're not.
Really?
N to the O, my friend.
Yeah.
They look nice.
Do you think that matters? See, I don't think it really matters if they're nice or not.
I think
it matters what they're doing for
society. I
would agree.
Anyway, there's so many big stories. There's so many big stories this week already. Obviously, these hearings on white nationalism.
Yeah, crazy.
Where they're just discovering that it's available online. It's incredible that this. I was talking to someone pretty high up at one of the tech companies who isn't one of those social platforms. And they're like, you know what's amazing? Around the world, like in New Zealand and Australia and Europe, they're already like making moves about how to fix this. And like here we're just deciding whether it's a problem.
But that's the myth, Kara.
It's ridiculous. I would agree. I didn't think of that. I'm like, you're right. They're like debating the problem.
Well, in Germany, where they're more liable, Germany has figured out a way to have more moderators and the content slowly but surely has become less offensive. I'm telling you, start finding them $1 billion a day. They'll figure it out.
No, they'll figure it out. Like New Zealand, it just shuts it down. New Zealand's going to descend us on it. That kind of stuff. You know, and so is Europe.
The perfect metaphor for me is they can literally target households with teens who just got their driver's licenses, but they can't figure out a way for me to stop getting birthday alerts from a friend of mine who died of ovarian cancer 4 years ago. Uh-huh. It's like, okay, where are their priorities?
All right. You know, I think it's interesting with this because one of the issues was when they had the hearings yesterday, it was kind of ugly. Candace Owens was there fighting with Ted Lieu.
That was ridiculous.
The whole thing, the whole thing, it just brings out so much hate. And they didn't get to the point, which is how do you protect people, make people safe online and prevent attacks like this and from ginning everybody up. What was really interesting is that the comments on YouTube had to be shut down. Didn't they anticipate that?
So the big winners. It was such an incredibly depressing. The big winners were the haters.
Yeah.
The haters showed up, started making anti-Semitic comments, and that was the story.
All kinds of it. It's like.
And you had people on the far left and the far right trying to embarrass each other, not make any progress around the issue. I think these hearings, I miss the wonks of Ross Dinkowski and Dingell, who actually dug in. Barney Frank actually dug in to the content
Bonnie
and the
Frank.
Issue.
I used to love listening. Barney Frank.
Oh, he's
Barney
fantastic.
Frank, I got some questions for you.
He's fantastic.
He's great.
Yeah.
I used to watch him on C-SPAN.
No, he's a gangster.
I think someone told me he lives up in near Boston. He's on the Cape or something like that. Anyway.
But yesterday it was just partisan bickering, and then the platform got shut down because of all the hate commentary.
I would know to turn that one off. Like, that one is not one.
Just shut the comments off.
Why can't they just do that? Common sense.
Well, here's the thing, and this is what's so ironic, is they claim they don't want to have editorial control, and they wrap themselves in First Amendment. First Amendment is for the public square, not for a private company. Yeah. And also, they are the master, they are the Uber editors, if you will, because their algorithms decide which content we see more of. So they're editing on steroids.
Yeah.
They've been editing for a while, so why couldn't they just edit more responsibly? So the whole thing, but Yeah, yesterday was, I mean, I think the appropriate term for yesterday was, it was just a total shit show.
Yeah, it really was. And the Republicans bringing Candace Owens, who's so controversial with so many people, it was just like they're making fun of it. They don't want to actually get something done. It said Republicans turn white nationalism hearing into a GOP pity party. You know, you're right, the whole sides, but the whole idea of like having these moments of not revelation, what's the opposite of revelation, or solution building. Like, what do we do about this? And other countries are onto it, like onto the idea. Like Britain with their new proposals this year, this week that they dropped, which is essentially, you're going to pay for this.
Yeah, we've had
You've made a mess.
We've had it, and we're going to have.
And Theresa May backed it. It seems so civil. Like, this is what we're going to do.
And reasonable.
And
we're going to think about it, and we're going to do it right. Yeah. And I think it's going to go further than that. I think we're going to have, and I've been saying this for a while, I've been wrong. I think we're going to have a Latin American or small European nation, Northern European, ban one of these guys. They're going to say, you know what, enough already.
Right.
You're out. We're done. We'll be fine. Our kids will be angry for a weekend, and then we'll be fine.
But what's interesting is it's coming from Australia, New Zealand, and Europe, which is really, and you know, and a little bit California. Like, California's not going that far, but it's a really interesting, I mean, it sort of jumped the Pacific, just the Atlantic to the Pacific. And they're doing something about it. But it's how that we're just discussing the issue is really amazing. Just discussing the issue.
Are you, let me ask you this. I'm exhausted by the whole thing. Do you think that's their strategy, that they just exhaust us and we just forget about it?
That's the Trump strategy. That's the.
Just kind of, God, enough already. You win.
No, they're not going to win. No, I'm not exhausted.
Yeah, you think it's coming?
Yeah. I could do this all day.
Yeah.
You watch Captain America? You don't watch Avengers, do you?
You're so onto Captain America.
I'm not Captain America. Captain Marvel's my favorite.
Right.
But the new Avengers movie's coming out in a few weeks.
And it's got that woman from the movie The Room, which is a fantastic movie.
That's Captain Marvel. Oh, my God. I'm not speaking with you at all.
You know what I did, though? You'll
I'm
like
not
this.
With you
my youngest was at a sleepover. My wife was away. So I said to my 11-year-old, I said, it's just you and me. Let's do something totally inappropriate.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to watch a movie you shouldn't watch. I mean, you know what we watched?
Oh,
Deadpool.
No. I would say Ted.
Oh, Deadpool. Oh,
Deadpool.
My God.
Deadpool's
what the
pretty
ass?
Good.
That is a fantastic movie.
I took my kids to that.
That's an outstanding movie.
I took a bunch of eighth graders to it.
We need Deadpool at one of these hearings.
I asked the parents. I did ask the parents. Initially, I thought, I'm not going to ask the parents. But then I did, because Deadpool's kind of dirty. Deadpool 2.
It's
I took a pack of
and my
eighth
son
graders.
Is so like prude and so good. He would actually ask me to fast forward certain scenes.
Yeah.
They were just too much for
him. Really?
Yeah.
Deadpool?
Yeah.
It's like joke a minute. That's not like, I'll tell you what's an awkward situation is bringing your son. He was a bit, my other son was a bit older, but I took him to Sausage Party. That was an error.
Sausage Party? There's
and
a
the
movie called Sausage Party.
Oh, yeah. It's with Seth Rogen. There's a bunch of people. And at first you're like, oh, that's interesting. But then at the end, there's a real.
What are you, Hickenlooper?
No, can I just tell you, there's a terrible part at the end. And my son turned to me and he goes, bad parenting.
Bad parenting.
And it was this, he goes, this is awkward, bad parenting. And I go, I agree.
I'm
I don't
sorry.
Know what to do. Do
You're
we
scarred.
Leave? We had a discussion. And he and I were both like, it was the worst. And we just sat there like, oh,
would you like some red vines?
This is a moment. And he literally said, bad parenting.
Bad parenting.
And I was like, I agree completely. I concur. And that's it. Anyway, back to this. Where is it going to go with this? When are our lawmakers going to actually do something about it?
Well, I don't know if you saw the rift today, but now the conservative guy, Ted Cruz, said he's threatened. I got excited. It said Ted Cruz, Senator Cruz threatens antitrust action. I thought, oh, wow, he's got the right script because of conservative bias.
Yeah.
And so now they're bringing up this notion of conservative bias again, which is, again, going to be another illusionist trick where they're going to say, hey, look over here, everybody.
Oh, and, Ted Cruz.
Well, but the problem is I think Facebook and social media will embrace it because they will eventually be able to dispel it.
And then antitrust.
No,
they won't.
No. Dispel the notion that these platforms have a conservative, anti-conservative bias. They don't.
They don't.
I know, but
they
that's my point.
They have nothing. They wish they had a bias. I wish they believed in something. That's my feeling.
No, they don't look left. They don't look right. They look down.
Down.
They just, I want to ignore
they
it.
Do.
You know, hear no evil, see no evil. Oh, wait, kids are depressed. Oh, wait, this mass shooting was probably motivated by your platform, or at least was your trafficking in it.
Yeah.
We don't want to know. We're First Amendment. We don't
care.
You know,
interesting, I had an interesting interview with Roger McNamee this weekend at the Annapolis Book Fair, which was fascinating. I put him on my Twitter feed, which was fun and interesting. And then I interviewed Scott McNeely this week.
Of Sun. Way back on,
Privacy, get over it. You have no privacy, get over it.
Right. It's utility for privacy. We've already made the trade-off.
And he said that 25 years ago. So I wrote a column this week in the Times about that, and I talked to him.
And what's Roger? I find Roger very—
He still thinks we have no privacy, and you should still get over it. That's
just get used
Scott
to
McNeely.
It. Yeah.
Not get used to it, too bad.
I actually don't think privacy is the biggest issue. Mm-hmm. I think the biggest issue is that these platforms have shown no regard for the sovereignty of our nation or our
kids. I think it's interlinked. I think you've got privacy linked with hate speech, linked with addiction. Yep. I think they're all around the same.
It's all part of the same stew.
Same stew.
But so what do you think? I was talking.
You need to see the ecosystem, Scott.
Yeah, the forest for the trees.
You must see ecosystems. The structural underpinnings are all together and they're all linked.
It's the force. Yeah.
Kind of like Vision's brain when they were trying to take out the Soul Stone.
So, God, you're on something today.
There were 31
billion
connections.
You're highly caffeinated.
No, I'm not highly caffeinated. It's just I had to see.
I see this enormous empty Infinity Stones
because I'm going to see Endgame. You need to see. You don't remember.
I don't know either of those things.
Okay.
What are they?
You don't
These
have
cultural
teenage
references.
Boys.
I don't know what they are.
It's only going to
so
be
So what do you
think is
going to happen here?
I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know. I think hopefully a privacy bill will pass. I hope they will start. I think these stuff in Europe is going to, Europe and Australia and New Zealand will try to press them. And maybe some other country is going to take this lead here. Maybe some others.
That's absolutely going to happen.
That's what's going to happen. Anyway, next story. I think they still don't get it. I still don't think they get it. Pinterest IPO.
Yeah, this one's interesting. So about, I think, 680 or 700 million revenue, grew 60%, which is really impressive.
Mm-hmm.
And Pinterest has sort of been the little engine that could. They have carved out a nice niche for themselves. Do you have boards that you pin to?
I don't, but I like Pinterest, though.
Yeah, it's nice. I always thought it was
if
you're decorating a house or getting married, it's sort of perfect. But there's a lot of other stuff, and you can see how the ad model works. Mm-hmm. But the fact that we're able to grow 60%, and given what just how ridiculous some of these companies are, the fact that they only lost 70 million.
Yeah, 70.
If they can grow 60% to the next 2 years, you're talking at you're looking at a company that'll lose 700
million.
They
don't lose that much money, right?
Yeah.
But they took
it's
the
a
price
real
down.
Business.
They took the price down.
They've adjusted the IPO down. Yeah. They don't want to be a broken IPO.
Down from its valuation, its private valuation.
It's last
by
private
several
round.
Billion dollars.
It's last private round, yeah.
Yeah.
But it's the tough part about Pinterest. So nice market. They've carved out something interesting. The economics actually look decent here.
Mm-hmm.
The hard part I struggle with Pinterest is what happens if and when it becomes a big enough business that Instagram or Amazon says—
I always thought they'd get bought.
Who do you think buys them?
Oh, Amazon or Google.
Yeah,
either one.
I think that might be
either
right.
one. Or Alibaba, any of them.
Yeah.
There's all three of them. There's, you know, it's really interesting. I know Ben very well.
Yeah.
Ben Silverman.
Yeah.
He's a very quiet, brainy guy.
Design guy, right?
Yes. And he worked at Google many years ago. He doesn't seek out the public. It'll be interesting to have him being a public company CEO. He almost doesn't want to be. He feels like he's
I don't think that works any longer. I think you have to be a fantastic storyteller
to
get access to
cheap
capital.
Well, he isn't. So it'll be interesting. I'm fascinated by, I was just emailing with him because I wanted to see him when I was in San Francisco next week. And he's busy on his thing. But I'm like, I can't believe you on a roadshow. It was, several times I've had dinner with him, and we never talk about tech. It's always something.
But it's not a Tim Cook kind of quiet. It's a real quiet.
It's a real deep quiet. Yeah. He has big questions, and it's always like, let's talk about marriage. And you're like, okay. Like, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, instead of like, let's
What do you
like,
want to know?
He
I've done
wanna,
it twice. What
gossip.
Do you want to know?
Yeah. He doesn't gossip. He doesn't. I haven't been married twice. He doesn't gossip. He doesn't engage in small talk.
Yeah.
You know, he's a really interesting person, and he's super careful. Now, he's not perfect. I've heard lots of different things inside, like about dysfunction, like any company.
Well, that's weird because I think
very brainy.
That's really shocking because I think that every major tech CEO is perfect. I'm under the these guys are wonderful human beings.
No, but it's interesting because he's not the Mark Zuckerberg awkward thing. He's very facile and talking and stuff like that. It's just it'll be really interesting. And I agree. I think it's a really promising. I always thought I was going to be bought. That was always my take.
And do you know any of the, I always like to see the layer down. Do you know any of the kind of the other managers?
I like them. They've had a little bit of a spin.
It's been a revolving door.
There's been a lot of a revolving. Lots of people.
Yeah.
Lots of the other guy. I think the two founders are still there. Ben and I can't totally blank on the other guy. But it's an interesting. It's just an interesting. I find it to they move through lots of people actually. So that's always a what's going on there.
But
Facebook did.
But what happens if Amazon launches a board and says 10% off anything you pin, or if Instagram?
They haven't yet, though.
But that's the interesting thing, and that is it because it's not big enough? They don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, this isn't a huge business.
Is it a small business? And then I was saying, what are the adjacent businesses? Are they going to sell stuff? That's what they they really have to show is what are the adjacent, what are the commerce businesses?
Because $700 million, unfortunately.
Because House does that too, another interesting
company. That's a great company.
I love the woman who runs that company.
That's
She's amazing.
Company.
I've had her on stage at Code before. It's really, it's a question of how big it can get. I think you're right. That's exactly right.
But I think they've decided we want to pop, we want sustainability, we want the stock to go up. It's a nice market. I've always been very critical of Pinterest. I thought Pinterest was going to get squashed and made no sense. I was wrong.
That's because he's creative and they're not creative over there at Amazon. Or
yeah, but there's clearly someone with a business mind. If they're figuring out a
way
to
grow 60% they're not creative at Google or Amazon enough to create that. Then again, Snapchat got crushed, right? Because he's more creative than Zuckerberg ever could be and twice on Sunday. And it doesn't matter because they can replicate.
But this thing, I think Pinterest will not make sense in terms of its valuation out of the gates. But it'll be less ridiculous than, for example, Lyft. This company could be a profitable. Any company near profitability, growing 60% a year, is worth looking at.
Although it's slower than it before. That's the only thing. There's a limit, right?
60% is still pretty gangster growth.
It was like 400 before, though. Anyway, it's interesting. So Airbnb, last one, Airbnb backtracking its decision to pull out of the West Bank. Oh, boy.
Say you're the CEO.
Because they're like that. They did it with immigration. He went out on a limb on immigration with the Super Bowl ad. He's gone out on a limb on a lot of things.
But what do you do? If you're advising him on that issue, what do you do?
I like him for it. He's like the others. He's got it hard. You know what I mean? He everything's not perfect like anywhere else in Airbnb. But Brian Chesky's got, I think it was heart in the right place.
So explain to the listeners, what's the whole issue about
Airbnb? It was pulling listings on the West Bank because of activity. They got killed on that, pulling listings. And now they're putting back. But who knows what will happen now that Netanyahu seems to have won and is going to form a coalition. And he's going to annex it. It's going to be they've sucked themselves in like a millennial age crisis of.
It just feels to me like this is something they should have just pivoted and figured out a way to avoid the whole thing. Like, why are we even talking about the West Bank and Airbnb?
You know, they have apartments everywhere. People want to go to the West Bank.
So,
they were sued by a bunch of travelers who wanted to go. You know, it was anti-religious, or it was interesting. There's always, you're going to do one thing, but I do like that he is willing to take. He's very eager to take political stands, and that's going to catch him. There's no, especially in some of these. And they did it in Charlottesville. That worked out okay. Like he was one of the first to like cut listings there for white nationalists, and that was a long time ago.
Mm-hmm.
So I like the instinct. I like, he wants to run the company when he wants to run it.
Yeah, I think Airbnb.
They're going public too.
I think Airbnb is going to be the most valuable company.
I really
that's
like
private,
that
right? I think it's the most valuable private company right now. We just don't know it yet.
Yeah, I agree.
But
like him.
But our metrics around IPOs, going back to Pinterest, you want explosive growth, you want network effects, and ideally you want some sort of recurring revenue stream. And Pinterest has two of those things. 60% is explosive growth. There are network effects. The more people to pin pictures of their favorite dog leash, it makes the platform more robust.
Yep.
It doesn't have recurring revenue. Does it have the scale and targeting of a Facebook or Google? But you're right. You could see, I don't know if Alibaba could do it for xenophobic reasons. I don't know if the other guys can do it because of antitrust or concerns
about
raising
antitrust.
That's right.
What can they buy? That's right. That's the thing. So they sort of have to go down there and build a nice small business, and then things get looser. Maybe.
And it's going to get pretty expensive pretty fast. But it's, look, good for them. Hope they'll get out. Hope they get a big pop. I am rooting for Pinterest.
Yep. I agree. I like him. I like Chesky. I like, those are two people I really do enjoy talking to. And it's actually it's interesting to talk to them. I like enjoy it. I actually enjoy talking to them. And they're very thoughtful. Both of them are incredibly thoughtful. And again, not perfect, but they're certainly very thoughtful. So are the Lyft guys. I'm sorry they are. So are the Uber guys. But those two are particularly. And I like their designs. I think the reason the sites are so interesting is because they're interesting. So,
which sites do you think are interesting?
Pinterest and Airbnb.
Yeah, they both done a really.
The others
clean
are just
job.
Ride-hailing services. I don't think they're.
I almost got that to my Airbnb story. I almost got kicked out of faculty housing for listing my place on Airbnb.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's against faculty. You're not allowed to list your place. So I got a note saying we need you to move out of faculty housing. You violated our terms and service.
And that's me turning you in.
Yeah,
I did that. Gosh. I'm really sorry.
That's nice.
You need to stop breaking the rules.
I'm literally. This is how bad faculty housing is. I'm hands down the coolest person in the entire building. It is just the. It is where lame goes to die. All it is like, the widow of a 90-year-old humanities professor who stacks his newspapers a mile high and has a fire hazard, and then some Albanian grad student, which is, I'm sure, a racist thing.
New York.
It is literally, oh, are you kidding? You walk into any building in New York, and there's hot, interesting people everywhere except in my building.
Okay.
People look at me, they're like, oh, my God, he's so good looking. And look at his shoes.
Nobody is saying
Nobody says that anywhere but in my building. Oh, my God, I am gangster cool. I'm fucking the Kardashians and Adidas in my building.
You know how that just sounded? Nothing.
Oh, I am so cool. Who's really cool? I'm Shawn Mendes in my building.
Oh, my God. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a quick break with Shawn Mendes.
He's so interesting.
Now, and we'll be back to our show soon.
He lives in 12B, right?
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You've heard it before. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. But it's more than just a tagline. Because State Farm agents are small business owners themselves who live and work in your community. And if you're in the market for small business insurance, who better to work with than an agent who understands what it takes? State Farm agents can help you create a personalized insurance plan that fits your small business needs and budget. Talk to your local State Farm agent today about small business insurance. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
This episode is brought to you by ShipStation. If you run an e-commerce business, you know how much work it takes to produce something great while dealing with complicated shipping issues. That's why over 130,000 companies have turned to ShipStation, an innovative tool that allows you to focus less on shipping and more on building your brand. With ShipStation, you can manage orders, label printing, reporting, and customer service on one easy-to-use dashboard. You'll reduce warehouse costs with reliable enterprise solutions and save thousands on shipping costs with discounts up to 89% off. Plus, you can effortlessly import orders from everywhere you sell online. So, turn your shipping challenges into opportunities for growth. Go to ShipStation.com and use code POD to sign up for your free 60-day trial. That's ShipStation.com, code POD.
We're back to our show. Scott Galloway is fantasizing how cool he is in public housing, I guess, or in New York.
It looks like public housing in Gdansk, whatever. Poland. It's called faculty housing.
Faculty housing at NYU. You know, my son wants to go to NYU. It's one of on his list.
Yeah, as an undergrad, it's really hard to get into.
It's a reach.
Yeah, we're drunk with exclusivity. We brag like we're a homeless shelter turning away the homeless.
I was just invited to a dinner party with the president there. Have you ever been invited to a dinner party with the president?
You're literally shaming me right now.
I said no. Wins and losses. We're going to move on. Win. Okay. Mackenzie Bezos is now the third richest woman in the world.
Wow. What do you think of that?
He kept all
the voting shares, right?
Yes. Yes, he did. Yes,
and so the question I immediately have is, why didn't she get half? Why did she get a third?
I bet a quarter. I don't know.
They didn't have a prenup.
The kids are getting everything. That's what I'm guessing.
Is that right?
Yes. I don't think there was any acrimony. It doesn't look like there was any acrimony.
Not publicly. They're way too smart. If there was, they wouldn't let it spill out.
I knew them pretty well in the early days, and they were so core. They were so lovely to each other. I can't believe it would degenerate into something ugly.
That's nice. I hope not.
I mean, it would be a surprise. Yeah. Something big would have to happen. And she's a class
Like you'd have to start sending dick pics
right.
out to
you
strangers?
Know what? Things happen. I think it was something to come in between their great relationship. Let me just tell you.
What do you mean we don't know what happened?
We have digital proof of what happened. She's a class act and deserves all the billions. I'm thrilled that she's rich. I like that. Lorraine Jobs. It's her.
Yeah.
It's the lady from L'Oreal who's like fabulously wealthy. That woman.
Ruth Betancourt.
Whatever. I saw that list. I was like, oh.
So is Mackenzie going to go start buying every media company in the world? Is she going to buy?
No, I think that's Lorraine's jam.
That's Lorraine Jobs thing?
Yeah, Lorraine's jam.
Anyway, I wish them the best. Glad she's a billionaireess. And now, do you realize if you and I make $50 million a year, it would only take us 1,900 years to match Bezos' wealth?
Well, okay.
So he just lost he's now only worth what, $110 billion on 150?
Whatever. After the first billion, who cares?
Yeah, there you go. But I'm glad it's over. I'm glad they're happy.
Yeah, I think that was a win. I think, and they handled it well. It didn't, like, these things can degenerate. And I think that, you know, you see the wins.
Wait, I'm confused, though. It's a win? She got a bunch of money in a divorce settlement?
No, I think it was just like, it could have been, like, I just remember so many divorces, like, so many.
Oh, the way they're handling it.
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. That's the win, not the win.
That's nice.
Although I'm glad a woman has now $36 billion, whatever. I'm good.
Well, actually, supposedly there's more wealth controlled by women. But anyways, because they live longer. But anyways, my win is Apple, and I'm going to try and go professorial here. So the algorithm for irrational shareholder returns end of World War II, the introduction of Google, was to take an average product and create brand codes and create all these intangible associations around American, youthful, and print money. And that requires brand management, thoughtful brand management. And then mm-hmm. this series of these unbelievable companies that were able to provide 10x better products, cheap capital, created unbelievable brands, Google, Amazon, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But Apple is still the best brand in the world. Yeah. And the reason they're the best brand in the world is they make very thoughtful brand management decisions. And what they did recently that I thought was just genius was they did something that we try to introduce in brand strategy called laddering, where they mm-hmm. compare them. They not only look for their best feature to talk about, they look for the feature or their attribute that immediately depositions the competition. And the thing that they have, yeah, makes someone else look bad. Yeah, like if you were to say, hi, I'm Kara Swisher and I have great hair,
yeah,
you would be depositioning me. That might not be your best feature,
not very hard.
But immediately says, okay, we're done, game
That's
over,
a light
right?
Lift
we're
for
done.
You.
Hi, okay. I'm the half that has great hair.
Okay.
So laddering is
light
pretty
lift.
Important, right? And they clearly laddered all the other tech companies and they said, what do we have that they can't follow? We pull 70 data points a day from your phone. Android pulls 1,000. We have encryption. We refuse to give the phone of the mm-hmm. terrorists to the FBI, which they should have in my view. But anyways, so have you seen their new ads? They're mm-hmm. all about privacy.
Are they?
It's your phone. It's your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it's genius.
Although I have to say I've heard some pushback on that by lots of tech executives and not just the ones at Facebook and Google in mm-hmm. that they pull all that money from Google. They get all like billions.
It
millions.
Might be bullshit, but it's great
branding.
I'm just
saying they're getting pushback. I've heard. I would agree. I think they're the most. That's why I use them, the most private phone. But that if they double down too much on it, people are going to be like, hey, they're taking money here, they're taking money there.
They're setting themselves up for hypocrisy. But hypocrisy doesn't seem to get in the way of anyone's shareholder value these days.
No, but I do think it's hard. It does think those things. Just like, you know, I interviewed the CTO of Ford Motor Company recently, and he was talking about that. He said the difficulty of dealing with internet many Silicon Valley companies, and I think he singled the Apple out as like not that way, was their obsession with taking everyone's information. And they, when they were doing the car stuff, they're like, we think of not using people's information beyond this step. And so it was a constant struggle between the Silicon Valley tech companies who want to use all the information and the car company who's like, hey, this is trusted information. And so anyway, it was interesting. It was an interesting.
I think Ford's done a pretty shitty job with their brand the last few years.
Agree, but I'm just saying this was an interesting. I think a lot of companies that are coming against them that have more regard for people's privacy are having some troubles with Silicon Valley.
But anyways, my win, Apple, I still think is the best brand in the world. And I think the brand managers there are really, really strong. And they, again, laddered the competition and said, this may not even be the best attribute, but it's the attribute that is going to
definitely sets them apart.
Deposition everybody
for
else
sure.
and
compared to others.
So.
What is your fail?
So my fail is, it's my fail from last week, but I was too wimpy and too scared to say it. My fail is
said a lot less.
Nevada lawmaker Lucy Flores.
Yeah.
I think her complaint or accusation around Vice President Biden,
mm-hmm.
I don't think she's forwarding the dialogue. Everyone says we're having an overdue conversation here, and I don't think that is a conversation. I think it's an attack.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember when Angela Merkel, when George Bush— Angela Merkel, gangster, probably the best leader of the last 50 years.
Yeah.
But anyways, do you remember when George Bush came up behind her and started rubbing her shoulders at a meeting?
No.
And she went, oh, my God, and threw up her arms?
No.
I thought that was an entire—you don't remember that?
No, I don't.
That was an entirely, in my opinion, authentic and appropriate reaction. And I think a lot of people, including our president, learned from that. In that sort of setting—
This is the other George Bush?
Yeah.
Which one? The young one?
W.
Okay. It wasn't the dad who had
come
some
on.
Issues
no,
with that.
No, 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 no.
Okay,
it wasn't. That was when he was older.
Rest
David
in peace,
David Copperfield, whatever.
Yeah.
It wasn't that. This was at a G8 meeting and he came with Rebel Sheryls. Anyways, I thought there was a lot of public discourse in that advanced the day. When Assemblywoman or lawmaker Flores announces that she was upset by this a few days before the vice president is supposed to announce or not announce actively endorsing Sanders, her candidate, it doesn't feel like she's advancing the dialogue. It feels like she's using the cloud cover of this dialogue to attack somebody. And I think it's just total bullshit.
You know, Nancy Pelosi, I think, handled it well. I'm doing a podcast with her this week, Nancy Pelosi.
Speaker
of the House, Nancy Pelosi.
Really? I only heard that about seven times.
Okay, here's the deal.
Yeah.
Not to our listeners. They don't know you heard it.
Yeah, yeah.
I think what's interesting is that she said, look, here's the deal. Do it like you have a cold. Or just do a strong, like she just handled it and then moved on. I thought she handled well. There's two parts of it. One is men should hear this because I have to tell you, that has happened to me dozens of times. And believe me, people shouldn't be touching Kara Swisher.
Well, let me just ask you this, though. Okay, affectionate work. Right. So you've had inappropriate examples of affectionate work, and let me
not inappropriate. Just I didn't want someone to rub my shoulders.
Okay.
I just don't.
Okay, but let me ask you
this.
It's
not sexual either. I don't.
Have
feel
you
like
ever had expressions of affection at work that you were receptive
welcome?
To?
Yes.
Okay, so what I would say is help us figure that gray area out. And if you turn around and say, you know, dude, I'm not comfortable with you my space.
Shoulder
I don't
massaging.
Like people.
Shoulder massaging like people is never good.
That's kind of a no-brainer. That's sort of like the user's manual. That's like common sense 101.
Yep.
But what I think is appropriate is to have a dialogue. And I don't think it's appropriate to wait and go after people when they're kind of what I'll call vulnerable. She could have turned around and said,
I think what happens is a lot of these things have built up over years with women.
Agreed.
And it's like, finally, yes, that. Yeah. What's interesting is all the polling is showing that Biden is not suffering from it. That there was a fascinating story in the New York Times about how the Twitter Democrats and real Democrats, how they feel like they're not bothered by Biden. They're not.
Yeah.
They think things are too partisan. It was really interesting, the differences between.
I disagree, and this goes into our predictions.
Okay. All right. Let's go to predictions.
Okay.
We got to finish up here.
So my first prediction is that ageism and sexism is about to take serious hold in the Democratic primary field, and we're about to see the poll numbers for Biden and Sanders plummet.
Oh, all right. That's really off because, that's interesting.
I think the only reason they're up there is for name recognition.
Okay.
It was them and the Seven Dwarves, and we're getting to know other people, and we're finding that, you know what, Mayor Pete, we just like him more than Uncle Joe.
Have you moved on from Beto yet?
Yes, you know
you have.
What?
You
I have
did.
Another lover. I have another.
Tony,
I am flirting
careful,
with another candidate,
careful.
And I got Senator Bennett in the wings, who I just
I
think
love
is
Senator
so
Bennett.
Wonderful.
I
so I got three.
I had a lovely meeting.
I got three loves, but here's the thing.
All right.
The old guys were
do you
done.
Like any the women candidates, of which there are 53.
Okay, again, I'm afraid to say this, but I'm going to say it. If a woman runs and loses.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to have a female president for 20 years.
No, that's the reason why. Come on, Scott.
Okay. This is what we need. The gangster ticket is Beto or Mayor Pete and Kamala as VP.
Why does she have to be VP?
I don't think she has.
She's like so much more qualified. Give me a break.
I think she's fantastic. I don't think she's as good on her feet as Beto or—
As a politician.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And guess what? That matters. It's a very political office.
But guess who could really actually run things better?
I think she'd be great. She's very strong.
She's a prosecutor, attorney
outstanding.
General.
Yeah, she's outstanding. Mm-hmm. She would be great. I would love to see her.
I like the guy who speaks 83 languages and like is.
Have you listened to him?
I have. My kids love him.
Oh my gosh.
I know. See, now you're like, look at you.
Did
just
you
totally
hear?
Moved on from Beto.
Well, hold on.
I told you
hold
Beto
on.
Was.
I'm a
Beto
slut when it comes
Pete
to politics.
Light. Beto is
just
Pete Light.
Bat your eyes at
Pete
me. I'm in love.
Was who you were looking for. Beto is Pete Light or Pete is Beto heavy. I don't know. Whatever.
But did you hear him on, what was it, on PBS talking about being gay?
He's
and
very
he said,
smart.
I didn't choose to be gay. I would have had this cut out of me. This was not my choice. And he was very open and emotional about it. And and then he talked about the Pences and he's like, do they really hate me? Do they really want to convert me?
Yes.
It was very powerful. And the guy is, he drove Humvees around in Afghanistan, fuckers. What
accessible.
The fuck did you
he's
do?
He's very accessible. And he's
God,
the kind of,
I think
it's
the
interesting.
Guy's incredible.
You know how people like Ellen and stuff like that? It's the same thing. He's very, like, people hear him in a way that's really, my mother likes Pete.
Oh, he's fantastic.
My mother likes Pete.
Anyways, my prediction.
I don't know how that happened.
Ageism,
she's like, I like Mayor Pete. I'm like, what?
Ageism,
she still likes Biden.
Ageism and sexism over the next 30 days. Yeah. The front runners in 30 days are young white males from the Democratic Party.
All right. Okay. If you say so. I don't know. I think Kamala's going to come on strong. We'll
you
see.
Think?
I don't know.
She needs an EpiPen of
what
charisma.
What about Biden, Kamala? That one you could see a little. That's
I think Biden's done.
Really?
I don't think.
Okay.
Here's the thing. Every time we boot a president out of office after only 4 years, it's to really pivot much differently. And we're not going to replace one old guy with another old guy. We're just not going
to
do it.
I think the way to appeal to people is to say, are you sick of this stuff? Are you tired?
100%. Yeah, I agree. But I think that's our number one criteria. It's not who's most qualified. It's who has the best chance of beating him.
Yeah.
And I think you're probably right. I think Senator Harris is probably the most qualified candidate.
Do you know George Washington was stupid not to brand himself at Mount Vernon?
What are you talking about?
Trump said that.
What are we talking about
today?
You just threw me off. I thought it was a cultural reference.
No,
that I didn't
he
get.
Said George Washington was not smart not to brand himself when he was at Mount Vernon. Why didn't he call this? You know, why didn't he put his name on it, like kind of thing, instead of calling it Mount Vernon?
Yeah, instead we have a city named after him.
And that's what the tour guide who was like horrified was like.
Really?
Well, he does have a city named
state,
after him in the state, and he's like, oh yeah, that's good.
Yeah,
that's good.
That too.
That's cool. He was just like, because, you know, they were trying to get Trump interested in the tour. And so they said he was a real estate mogul, George Washington. So that got him sort of vaguely
interested.
Vaguely.
Did he have condos?
No.
Did they have gold and cheap wood?
No. Anyway, yeah. It was interesting. Anyway, it'll be interesting. That's a good prediction.
Do you have a prediction?
No, I don't. I never have predictions. You're the prediction guy.
We got to do that's fun is we got to time stamp them and then come back. Because sometimes when we're wrong, it's just fun to discuss it.
Yes.
And you know what? We're in the same room. The viewers,
I know we are.
If they feel a certain simpatico, if they feel a certain like electricity here, it's because we're in the same room.
Yeah, but I'm leaving now because I got to go to an important event.
Yeah, I know, right?
Yeah,
you're having dinner with you're rubbing La Roche-Posay on the small of the back of my boss's boss somewhere.
No, I'm going to the Tina Brown's
La Roche-Posay. Where did I get that?
I don't even know what that is.
Oh, it's
the
best.
I'm going to Tina Brown's Women in the World Conference here in New York.
Yeah.
And I am going to interview two journalists, Maria Ressa and Carol Cadwallader, who did the Guardian of the Guardian. Captain Marvel will be there. Brie Larson's on before me.
I'm so confused.
And afterwards,
beauty and superheroes. What the fuck is going on?
I'm
here?
Just saying she's on before, and then Oprah's on right. I'm between Oprah and Brie Larson. I'm very excited.
That is pretty cool.
Yes, they're gonna all be my best friends.
Do you get to have dinner with them or drinks with them? Right?
I have no idea. I'm just gonna stand there and
just hang out.
Say hope for best friendness of one of them. It doesn't matter.
Office.
And then
That's
tomorrow,
awesome.
I told you, I'm besides Pelosi, I'm gonna address the Democratic caucus about technology. Do you have any tips that I should talk to all the representatives?
Don't worry about it. It's all awesome.
No.
What's the Democratic caucus? What do you mean?
They meet in this place and they discuss issues. It's their issues conference. They all have them. Republicans have them. They go away and they like plot. I don't know what they do.
Yeah, it's at some point,
right,
it's time for you to do your damn job and start proposing legislation.
Yeah, okay.
The problem here is not these companies. They're doing their job. Mm-hmm. Their job is for-profit entities.
Right.
The problem here is not the technologies. The problem here is that you guys have failed to do what lawmaker has done in the past.
Do you have a good joke?
I got to
start with a good joke.
So my go-to is a joke my mother told me. What did the strawberry say to the other strawberry?
Oh, my God. I don't want to know.
If we weren't caught in the same bed, we wouldn't be in this jam. Come on. Genius. That's right. I'll be here all week. Try the veal.
Wait. I got one for you.
Okay.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
Why?
To get to your house. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
The chicken.
That's a joke?
That's brilliant.
That's a brain teaser. I couldn't even follow that.
Get it? To get to your house, knock, knock. It takes two classic jokes, brings them together.
Are you sure you don't do drugs?
My young son came up with that one.
Okay.
Anyway.
Good.
Anyway, I will give that message. Scott, thank you so much. It's time to go. Rebecca Sinanis produces this show. Nishat Kirwa is the executive producer. Thanks also to Eric Johnson. Thanks again for listening to Pivot from Fox Media. We'll be back next week for more of a breakdown. Was that a sigh? You just sighed at me.
Stretching,
a breakdown of all things tech and business. If you like what you heard, please subscribe, rate, and review Pivot on Apple Podcasts.